Vrindavan Mahimamrita. So we've gone from Navadvip to Mayapur, from Navadvip to Vrindavan. Two rooms in the same house of devotion. Two compartments of Prema Bhakti. The Audarya compartment and the Madhurya department. Audarya carries us to Madhurya. Madhurya imbues us with a desire to distribute the Madhurya. Then we go to the Audarya. The Audarya, and while distributing, we relish the Madhurya. Then we go to the Madhurya. So the boat is traveling on two sides of the river, sometimes on the Madhurya sweet side and sometimes on the sweet distribution side. Navadvipa is a site of sweet distribution, and Vrindavan is a site of the river of sweet relishment. This is the bhakti dhara, prema bhakti dhara, the current or river of pure love. And we're traveling on a boat on that river, Gaudiya Vaishnavas, Audarya and Madhurya. They go side by side. One side of the river is there, the bank, one side is there. The two banks of the river are traveling side by side. The river is in the middle, the two banks. Wherever one bank is, the other bank is where the river is. So one bank is Audarya, one bank is Madhurya. You're in Navadvip, then Vrindavan. You're in Vrindavan, then Navadvip. Can't but be. So we're discussing how Braj Bhajan means Raghunuga Bhakti. And this particular point is how the sweetness of Braj is beyond the Upanishads. This is chapter 12, verse 62. Re muda gudam akhilo upanishat saghada premnavagadam akhilarta shiro dirudham anandasindam anapashraya dinabandum vrindavanam braja hatat Kalitatma Bandha. O foolish people, forcibly destroy your material bondage and proceed immediately towards Vrindavan, which is confidential to the Upanishads. It's Re Muda Gudam Akila, Akila Upanishad Swagada. It's attained by intense love, Swagada Prem, which is a crest jewel among all objectives of life, which is the ocean of bliss. Vrindavan, in other words, Vrindavan is the crest jewel among all objectives of life. Vrindavan is the ocean of bliss. And Vrindavan is the supreme shelter. And Vrindavan is the friend of the poor. Vrindavanam brajahatat kalitatma bandha. Fool, cut your bonds and go to Vrindavan, which is a great secret hidden in the Upanishads. Gudam. Gudam Akhila Upanishad. Is that? It's a great Akhila. Akhila, I guess you can say, Akhila Gudam means great secret. Which is deeply, Vrindavan, which is deeply plunged into pure transcendental love. Ananda Sindhana. Then Vrindavan is the crown jewel of all goals of life. Vrindavan is the ocean of transcendental bliss. That's easy to see. Ananda Sindhum. And which is the friend of the poor and shelterless. Kalitatma. I guess Kalitatma Bandha means poor and shelterless. Forcefully destroy your material bondage. Yeah. Hatat means like sledgehammer. Vrindavan is like a sledgehammer for Maya. Take shelter of Vrindavan as a serious sadhaka, then Vrindavan becomes a sledgehammer in your hand to smash the face of Maya. Mugda, there's those verses by Shankaracharya we mentioned the other day. Mugda Hatar or something. 10 verses against illusion, foolishness. One of them is Naris Tanabari Navidesha. Trisvamagama Ovesha. We mentioned that the other day. Hatora, sledgehammer against Mugda, illusion. And we say Krishna is Sarvagya and Vimugda. He's all-knowing and he's forgetful. Mugdim, he's forgetful, foolish, stupid. He's sarvagya. He's all-knowing and he's mugda, completely forgetful. This is the paradoxical nature of God. He knows everything and becomes bewildered. Mugda. Mugda atoram. The verse is a smash bewilderment. Don't be bewildered. 58, 62. Now, this is the next verse here. Is new category. Shastras are not required. 11.108. Shri Vrindavana Mahima Nahi Manasam Anyagami Me Kurute Tasmin Chastravakya Buddha Muda Badira Gita Rangava. O intelligent persons, the glories of Vrindavan do not allow my mind to go anywhere else. So your explanations on the scriptures appear to me as useless as playing music to the deaf. Badiragit, playing music to the deaf. Oh, intelligent person. Vrindavan Mahima. Sri Vrindavan Mahima. Manasam Anyagami Mekuru. My Anyagami, it won't go anywhere else. It's stuck on Vrindavan. It's a good place to be stuck, mentally and physically. Oh, I got stuck in Vrindavan. I couldn't get out. Oh, very good. There was heavy fog. No trains were going. The planes were canceled. I was stuck for 3 days. I had to cancel all my programs. I was forced to take darshan of Bunky Bihari every day and Radhisham, Radharaman. Oh, it was terrible. So these things happened. I was stranded in Vrindavan. There was this airport strike, and the airport was closed. I couldn't fly. Oh, it was terrible. So this is the greatest blessing anyone could ever have. So he's saying, my mind, anyagami mekurute, my mind, manasam anyagami mekurute, my mind won't go anywhere. We should pray to the author, Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur, that Prabodhananda Saraswati, oh Saraswati Thakur, your mind is manasam Anya, manasam anyagami. It won't go anywhere else but Vrindavan. But my mind is something different. My mind goes everywhere but Vrindavan. So you and I are quite opposite. I am poor, you are rich. So of course you won't beg me for my poverty because it's useless to you. But I can beg you for some donation of wealth because that will be useful to me. If I'm a poverty-stricken sadhaka, wretched, fallen, low, and mean, so I'm begging you, because you're Mora Vrindavan, Mana Vrindavan Mora. There's that verse, Vaitacharya told Lord Chaitanya, when he thought he had gone and traveled to the Yamuna and had arrived in Vrindavan, and he found he was on the Ganga and he arrived at Shantipur, and Lord Chaitanya said, what is this? You kidnapped me, take me to Shantipur. He said, no, more. Your mind is always Vrindavan. Wherever you are is Vrindavan. So Lord Chaitanya was the same way. His mind never left Vrindavan. So if someone tries to give very wonderful Chastravakya of the Shastras, then that's why you might as well go to the house of the deaf and play a violin, because they won't hear it. And I can't hear you telling you about Gyan and Karma and Yoga and Swarga and Mukti and Dharma and Art and Kam Moksha. I don't know what you're saying. I can't hear it. It doesn't mean anything. So why waste your time? I'm stuck. I'm simply absorbed and I've been captivated and enchanted, and my mind has been stolen by the glories and sweetness of Vrindavan. I can't budge an inch from this place. So take your music and go play to the deaf. Enough of your shastras. My mind does not go anywhere to any other place than the glories of Vrindavan. Oh, learned scholars, your commentaries on the scriptures are all in vain. I am deaf to your every word. That's a little more interesting. It's more connected. tighter translation. I am deaf to your every word. This category is shastras are not required. Chapter 12, verse 3. We have the underlying current of the author in these verses is a type of fanaticism. He's a Vrindavan fanatic. Some people say, I left my heart in Vrindavan. They have a t-shirt. But Prabodhananda Saraswati, he wears a shirt, I went crazy about Vrindavan. No, he has a t-shirt that says, I'm crazy about Vrindavan. You left your heart in Vrindavan, but you're in Bombay. You left your heart in Vrindavan, but your senses are in Delhi. Your body and senses are in Delhi, busy enjoying Indriya Sukh. But your heart's in Vrindavan, your heart's in a good place. Yeah, his heart's in a good place. They have phrases like that. His heart's in a good place, but his mind is in the garbage can. So this is the essence of this book, is that I'm crazy about Vrindavan. That's Prabhupada Saraswati's t-shirt. Fanatically crazy. And if you associate with this book and hear it enough, then I'm afraid I should forewarn all the listeners of these classes. It's a warning from the karmic surgeon general. Surgeon General of Karma has warned that hearing about Vrindavan from the mouth of Prabhupada Saraswati may be very dangerous to your material health. May destroy your sojourn in the samsara and send you soaring to the land of Vrindavan to enter the land of prema once and for all, never to return and never to be heard of again. This is written right on the front of the book. It's called a statutory warning. Statutory warning. Excuse me, listen. Verse 3. Alam te shastro ger api suviditer vyakta vachaner. Mahadbish chalam te yahya na vido vetya nigira. Alam cha sabi yur ati parama durga prasanar prasaraner. Anashankam Vrindavana Bhuvi Nivasam Kuru Sake. O friend, there is no need to study many scriptures. There is no need for the instructions of great personalities who have no knowledge about Sri Vrindavan. And there is no need to create a vast network of arguments. One should simply reside in Vrindavan without any anxiety. Haribo. That's an inviting translation. Enough with books. Enough with garrulous philosophers who cannot understand Vrindavan. Enough with the tangled nets of logic. Give up all doubts and reside in Vrindavan. It's much more hard-hitting translation. So all the talks of these philosophers and mundane wranglers of Shastra, it's simply like childish, trivial talk, and I don't want to hear it. I have no doubts. Why do I have to hear from you? Why do I have to read this Shastra and that Shastras? I know that Vrindavan is the perfection of life and the means to perfection, and it's everything. It's eternal. And by living here, I'll become perfect, eternal, and realize the goal of life. What more? Haribo, Nitai Gaur. Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai. Do Dham Seva, chant, Sadhusanga, go back to Godhead. Simple package. Verse 1247. Chidvantare ham mamakara ghadha grantim nimila yakshiti sambramena mudadishanto shrutimoli gudam vrindatavim masta vichara natra. Chidvantare ham mamakara ghadha grantim nimi lakshyati sambramenha mudhadi shantu shuti moli ghudham vrindata vimasta vichara natra. Even foolish people destroy the strong knots of I and mine and take shelter with awe and reverence of Vrindavan, which is confidential even to the Vedas. There is no need for further consideration in this regard. So again, this point, this heading is called Shastras Are Not Required. Obviously, fools cannot understand the Shastras. First of all, the Shastras are in Sanskrit, and they're written in sutras and codified language, which is extremely difficult to unravel and discern the meaning therein. Fools can't even read Sanskrit, what to speak or pronounce it, or understand the vocabulary, or the nuances and hidden flavors of meaning. Most of the Shastras are written in a style of language called Parokshavad. Parokshavad means indirect, implied meanings, indirect meanings, not straightforward, not clear, not patent. They're not newspapers. They're Shastras. So without a guru, and without sufficient training in Vyakaran and Kavi and Sahitya, grammar, Sanskrit grammar and poetry and literature, one has a great difficulty in understanding Shastra. But even then, and it's said, without Gyan, there's no Mukti. This is what the Shastras teach. Without Gyan, one cannot get free from the moha of jana, janasya moho yamahamameti, the mahamameti mo, the illusion and covering and enchantment of I and mine. I and this body, this world is mine, and these people are mine, and these things are mine. So this is the greatest illusion, ahamameti. This is what makes a fool. And Shastras give the light, the knowledge, the Shastra Chakshu. They give the knowledge by which we can see through this illusion of false identities and these illusory designations and rise to the plane of self-realization where one realizes I'm not the body. Then Shastras give Gyan and Gyan gives knowledge. And knowledge means to realize Aham Brahmasmi. There's no Aham Ameti. I am Brahman. That's my Aham. And I am part and parcel of the Supreme Brahman. I'm a part and parcel, eternal spiritual particle of consciousness, part and parcel of the Supreme Consciousness, the Supreme Parambrahman, Sri Krishna, Bhagavan. And then that's what the Shastras give, that transcendental knowledge to lead one to moksha and liberation, beginning with I'm not the body. That's a Vedanta. That's Vedanta, Aham Brahmasmi. But the author is saying that even fools that don't know Vedanta and don't know the Shastras and are absorbed in I am my consciousness, if they simply take shelter, just live here and serve here and worship here and honor here with respect and honor, even fools can show respect and honor. This is the quality in the Vedic society of the Shudras. The Shudras are considered the lower class, the less intelligent, the laborers, the legs of the social body. The laborers, and they're considered somewhat foolish and unintelligent, but they have the quality of respect and reverence for the Brahmins, Kshatriyas, and Vaishyas who are above them and whom they are humbly serving in a cooperative relationship of master and servant based on the center of God consciousness and moksha, which is a common goal to all the varnas and all the ashrams in the Vedic society. They all share the common goal. So all the helping and pushing and pulling each other towards that goal, irregardless of their social or spiritual status or caste or position in the social paradigm of Vedic paradigm. So they had this respect. So even a fool can have the quality of on reverence. He's respectful. When the king comes, he stands up, folds his hands. He's respectful. He's reverent. So come to Vrindavan, and we're all fools. We're all in this concept of I and mine. Simply be respectful and reverential towards Vrindavan. That alone will reveal everything. We don't have to consider anything more in this regard. We can read another translation of this. It's called quite interesting to see these two translators, how they view this. Fools around here. Everywhere, again, this word is there, mudha, mudha, mudha. So we can find our name in these verses. Our name is being mentioned here in many verses. Mudha, mudha, mudha. Fool, stupid, wretch, rascal. Mudha. I remember when we first joined ISKCON in Los Angeles and we heard certain words and they became part of the ISKCON lingo. And the devotees would use these words with each other and only we would understand it. And it was a very common word that if someone did something foolish, then your leader, Sankirtan leader, temple presence, you mudha. Of course, in India, you know some of these words in Hindi and Sanskrit. You have some familiarity, but we only knew a few words of Sanskrit, and these were one of the first words you learn right away, as soon as you join as a bhakta. The bhakti leader, the kitchen in charge when you're cutting vegetables or the Sunday feast, he says, "You mudha! Why did you burn the chapatis? You dropped the flour on the floor, you mudha, stupid nonsense, mudha." And then you say, "What's a mudha?" And he says, "Means you're ass, means ass." "Oh, you call me ass?" "Step outside." "Fool, cut the tight knot of in the heart. Close your eyes to this foolishness and quickly go to Vrindavan, which is hidden even from the Upanishads, the crest jewel of Vedas. Don't stop to think." Don't stop to think. Let's see if we find that in the verse. Mastivicharan atra. Moliguna, Shruti Moliguna, Shruti Moliguna, that's obvious. These hidden from the Shrutis. Dishantu? Dishantu. Shantu means run? No. What means run? Sambramena, I guess. Sambramena. Move with everything you got. Brahmati. Brahmana means move, no? Brahmena, so some Brahma means complete movement. Everything, get everything moving, shake, rattle, and roll. Get your engine in gear, run to Vrindavan. That's what he's saying. Some Brahmena. So this verse is saying that Vrindavan is a secret, it's confidential. You can't find the Upanishads. And yesterday we were reading various verses from the Upanishads. Remember? Taittiriya Upanishad, Isa Upanishad, Katha Upanishad, several verses. And we didn't find anywhere any hint or any mention of Vrindavan, indirectly or directly, except in one, which I believe was Taittiriya Upanishad, which was spoken by some birds. Taittiriya is a pair of Tituba birds, which I believe are sparrows, type of sparrow, which I mentioned, called Taittiriya Upanishad, spoken by, I don't know, some sages that took the form of birds or whatever was spoken by, because Taittiriya means birds, Taittiriya. And in that particular verse from the Upanishads, we get some indication of Vrindavan because it says, Rasovai Saha. That which is Ras, or he which is Ras, Rasaraji Krishna. So this is Vrindavan, which is place of Ras Lila. So we can find, but that's very hidden and it can be taken in so many other ways, which it certainly is, by all the Mayavadi commentaries of Upanishads. So basically, it is a fact, and it remains a fact, that Vrindavan is confidential even to the Vedas. Gita Upanishad, we mentioned that. It's glorified as an Upanishad, but it actually isn't one of the 12, listed as one of the 12 major Upanishads. Kena Upanishad, Katha Upanishad, Mundaka Upanishad, Taittiriya Upanishad, Isa Upanishad. Those are the main ones. And the Gita is not listed there, Bhagavad Gita, because it's much later book. But in glorification, generally acharyas will often call it Gita Upanishad. Because what is told in all the Upanishads, the essence of that is in the Gita. There's karma, jnana, and bhakti there. course, with the proper commentaries and understandings, even Bhagavad Gita is describing Vrindavan, especially glaringly so in 18th chapter and the 65th verse. Because basically Krishna is in consonance with Vrindavan Das Thakur, Prabhupada Saraswati is seeing eye to eye with Bhagavad Gita, although he's castigating and relegating the Upanishads to insignificance by saying Vrindavan is confidential, simply run there. But another way to look at it is Prabhupada Saraswati is very much agreeing with the Gita Upanishad, because Krishna in the Gita Upanishad, which is not really an Upanishad but thought of that way, he says, Sarva Dharma Pratyaja Mame Kam Sharanam Braja. Krishna is saying, drop everything, forget everything, and run to Vrindavan. Krishna is telling the same thing in Gita. Sarva Dharma Pratyaja means to drop everything, throw everything away, forget about it. Forget I, mine, everything. I am this, I am that, mine, mine, she's mine, this, that. Forget it all. Forget your dharma, ashram, varna, duty, bhuti, kuti, tuti. Fruity, Muti and Maruti, and then run to Vrindavan, because then everything will happen. You only have one thing, because when you run to Vrindavan, you have nothing but your skin on your back. You left everything, but you have your skin on your back, and you get there and Krishna says, Mame Kam Sharanam Braja. He says, Krishna Sharanam Amma. He says, I'm your shelter. Eka Sharanam. Eka Sharanam means Krishna Sharanam Amma. He says, Eka Sharanam Amma. This verse of Bhagavad Gita is the basis of Balabhacharya's, their Mahamantra. Their mantra is that. Krishna's, what is it called? Sri Krishna Sharanam Amma. Sri Krishna Sharanam Amma. Sri Krishna Sharanam Amma. Sri Krishna Sharanam Amma. So that's nice, and it has a nice sing-songy sound, and we think that's singing song, and then other people hear us chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. That's also a sing-song. But it's a song that we sing, and we're happy we do, and by doing that, we live eternally with the boy who's blue.